It's time for the 4th Street Sports Show, an award-winning program dedicated to all things Southern Miss athletics. If they're playing it, we're covering it. Welcome back to 4th Street Sports Show. Southern Miss 40, Alcorn State 14, here with a post-game podcast here brought to you by 4th Street Sports Show, brought to you by Southern Miss Studio Media, home of SM2, The Prince, SMTV, and of course, 4th Street Sports Show, which is what you're listening to now. Southern Miss wins a season opener 40-14 over Alcorn State. That is Will Hall's first ever season opening victory, 1-0 for the first time since 2019 for Southern Miss. Lots to talk about. It's currently 1 a.m. as we're recording this, so not sure how long we'll go, not sure how long our brains will allow us to go, but we wanted to get something out to y'all to listen to Sunday morning. So here alongside me, Jackson Kennedy, as he was taking photos on the field. Jackson, we just got done watching Southern Miss basically do what we thought they were going to do, you know, go in and kind of figure out some things on the offensive side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball. And I think in hindsight, we kind of nailed the game. I said that in our instant reactions, which you're welcome to go watch them, which was on our YouTube. And, you know, I said 45-17, you said 52-17. The final score is 40-14. So we were basically in that ballpark, and we thought that this game kind of might – you know, not feel like Southern Miss ever is really dominating necessarily, where it's more like last year when it was like 50-0 before you could even blink, but, you know, never in real doubt that Alcorn State was going to win the game.
Yeah, no, there were very few surprises this game, and the surprises that did come were surprisingly good plays by the Southern Miss defense or by the Southern Miss offense. There was nothing in which you went, oh, well, that's a shocker. Like, the only real thing that I was shocked by with Alcorn was, you know, the 75-yard rushing touchdown, which was just, you know, a fluke, blown coverage. And I'm not saying this as somebody that's like a homer that is talking down on Alcorn. I'm saying this as somebody who has seen that aside from that yardage gain, like, that 75 rushing touchdown, that was over half, if not over three quarters, of all of Alcorn's statistics in terms of any yardage gain period.
Mm-hmm.
It was this Southern Miss defense was suffocating. They were overwhelming. And if you're part of the Golden Eagle faithful, it's something that you are very happy to see. I was thoroughly impressed by the defense. It felt like they only scored once, honestly. Like I'm surprised that the Golden Eagles got scored on twice, but at the same time, if you're putting in your twos and threes, then you're going to get scored on, especially with a team that's getting as angry or as frustrated as they were, because you could see tensions were rising, especially an Alcorn team that came in there, I wouldn't say expecting to win, but planning on it, you know? This team came into the Rock saying that they were not here to collect a check. They were here to win a ball game, which is the attitude that everyone should love to see. But, you know, even if you're disconnected or even if you haven't been at fall camp like Dima and I have, you know that there's something special about the Southern Miss team. And this, I'm surprised the score was not higher for Southern Miss. There is something palpably different about the Southern Miss team this year. The fans can tell it. The media can tell it. Other teams can tell it. And if the other teams can't tell it, or if the fans or the media can't tell it, they will be able to know once Southern Miss takes the field. I've been very impressed just kind of masticating on what this game was the past what would you say, Dima, like 4 hours, 3-4 hours, just been kind of hanging out and thinking of like, wow, that happened, and wow, I'm on the field taking pictures of a quarterback that really can do something.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm not surprised at the score margin. I think that's about right. I thought that Southern Miss would get about 40, 45. Just because, I mean, it's a first-time starting quarterback, and like you said, Billy Wiles, I mean, really, really did play well tonight. We did our grades on the field. Jackson gave him an A. I gave him a B+. 21 for 28, 257 yards, 3 touchdowns, and an interception. You know, I thought he showed what honestly, what competent quarterback looks like with a Southern Miss team, right? So, first drive for Alcorn State. Alcorn State, you know, they throw the ball. Jay Stanley makes a circus interception, and Billy Wiles comes out and leads the offense down in 3 plays and scores on what's touted to be one of the better defenses in the SWAC. And, I mean, they went through it like a, you know, bread and butter almost, you know, just – quick little dump off to your guy Brandon Hayes, and then quick little run to Frank Gore Jr., who he just spurted off to 18 yards, and then, you know, a nice throw to Jacarius Caston. And when you get Caston in space out there on the sideline, he's hard to bring down just because of his speed. So it's something that Will Hall said that was fun, right? He said that drive was what he's called fun. He was asked to like expound on that, and he went through like breaking down each of the plays. But, you know, when I think about this game, I think of, you know, what was this like? What would have this been like 2 years ago? Or what would this have been like even last year? And I thought what Alcorn State was trying to do on defense actually wasn't a bad plan, right? So you have a young quarterback who's never started. What do? You want to confuse them. You want to blitz them. You want to bring blitzes that are confusing. And at times it was like that, and with that one interception. But most of the time, what I thought was most impressive about Wiles' day was he was able to sit in the pocket and make a throw under pressure. Or, you know, Hall would give him those little out routes or little drag routes or post routes or whatever, and he would hit them. And I think that to me was the most encouraging from Wiles' day. I want to start this podcast by talking about just the you know, when you look at Wiles' performance, is this kind of what you were expecting, Jackson? Were you expecting a little bit more? Is this a performance that's going to be able to you know, continue like this? I mean, we're talking about a SWAC team. And this isn't the next two teams they face are going to be a lot better than this team so that they face tonight. But do you think this is a good – this is what you expect? You expect 250 yards from Wiles each game?
I would say that each game I expect a little bit more. But for what Billy Wiles had to go with today and for the time in which that he played, you know – I was impressed. I was thoroughly impressed. You know, the first time under the lights, the last time that Billy Wiles started was in 2021 in high school. In what was it, May, March?
Yeah, May. Yeah. No. May. No, it'd been like fall.
Well, no. I think they said like March or May state championship because, you know, COVID.
Oh, those are COVID. Yeah. You're right.
Jeez, dude.
Yeah. Hey, it's 1:15 in the morning.
What a wild time that we got to live through. Jeez. Anyways, the last time that he started was in May of 21, state championship for high school. And then he had
West Virginia.
Yeah. And he had committed to Tulane, immediately decommitted back in, you know, December of 2020 after Will Hall took the job at Southern Miss. It kind of felt like Billy was destined to come here.
Yeah.
He was destined to be Will Hall's guy. And, you know, if Billy can continue to impress and if he can continue to grow in his game, you could almost forgive or almost be like, you know what, maybe this whole quarterback shtick didn't work out because Will Hall already had his guy. His guy just wasn't here yet. And that's kind of how it felt. Obviously, it wasn't some like 800-yard performance with 10 touchdowns or something crazy like that. It was just competent confident, cool, even-keeled quarterback play.
Yeah, and I saw a tweet in the press box, and it said, I don't remember who it was from, but it said, is this a quarterback throwing a passing touchdown? You know, like, is this happening? Like, is something being, is there a quarterback? Like, are we saying, wow, what a great throw from the quarterback? And I think that's right? Like, I think that just what Southern Miss fans have had to endure through over the past couple years to see something like this, and like I said in the post game or the pregame show, Zion, our co-host, said it. Actually, he said that his bold prediction was 250 yards with 3 touchdowns. That was his bold prediction. And I remember even saying, you know, that's crazy that we're out of state at Southern Miss, covering Southern Miss, that, you know, you're talking about it's going to be – it's a bold thing to say that the quarterback's going to throw for 250 yards. And that's what Billy did tonight. He threw for 257 yards. Jackson, are you surprised that Holman didn't get as much playing time? I thought that maybe they would throw him in there basically the start of the – I mean, it felt like the game was in control. And he only really had 2 drives. And I think that should tell us that I think this quarterback battle's over.
Yeah, no, it's not like, you know, if there were still some doubts in
– I think if Billy would have thrown like 2 or 3 picks in the first quarter or something.
Well, yeah, but like not even that. But say that Billy has the day that he has, you know, and he's as good as he is. If there were any doubts within Hall's mind, he would have put Holman in middle of the third quarter, start of the third quarter. And if there were any doubts in Hall's mind, he would not have put Ethan Crawford in for that last drive.
Yeah.
He wouldn't. But it is secured. It's secured. And unless something crazy happens, Billy Wiles is the guy. And he has proven. He's proven that he can be that guy. I mean, 16-yard touchdown pass, 2-yard touchdown pass, 3-yard touchdown pass. I know that you may be like, well, that's not that all that impressive. I think a 2-yard touchdown pass is more impressive than a 25-yard, than a 30-yard touchdown pass, because, you know, if you chuck it down the field or if you do a short pass, then the defense is going to just be trying to prevent a pass play from happening. After that, you can blow it wide open. You know what I mean? But if you are on the 3-yard line, if you're on the 2-yard line and you throw the ball, there's 11 guys within 10 feet of that ball most of the time. And so the fact that he was able to get those accurate short yard gains, that's what made me confident. And doubly, you know, Dima, 4th down and 5, yeah. Southern Miss goes for it.
Yeah.
Number one, very few times in my tenure at Southern Miss, or very few times in my Southern Miss fandom before I started covering sports, did we see something like that, where you would confidently go for it midfield, back like midfield, but you're still on the side that you're trying to get away from,
right?
And you go for it, and you go for it with a pass play.
Yeah,
like you haven't seen that in a long time, and I feel like that just kind of goes to show the confidence that not only Coach Hall, but this entire team, and soon this entire fandom is going to have. Like, very, very quickly will I see, in my prediction, this entire fan base, this entire university, put Billy Wiles on their back as he is putting the university on his. I think it's encouraging also, because, you know, Frank Gore Jr. has pretty much been Southern Miss's entire team.
Right.
Minus the defense since he got here. And now you've got a guy. And not only is he good, but his capability, his competency is making it to where these fantastic wide receivers that Southern Miss is known for producing NFL talent at wide receiver. They are known for that. You know, Tim Jones, Quez Watkins, Jason Brownlee. These guys are good. And now Billy Wiles is able to show off all the talent that Southern Miss has at wide receiver. And good Lord, Dima, they are impressive.
Yeah, and I think back, like, what would Jason Brownlee's numbers have been like if they would have just had competent quarterback play, right? And you saw it with Cashton tonight. I mean, this is like – it wasn't like a spectacular game from Jacarius Cashton. Like, there wasn't – it wasn't just like he was unstoppable. He just had like a normal game. And a normal game for Southern Miss receivers should be 104 yards. Like, that should be a normal game for a receiver who's playing for Southern Miss. You know, that's just not something that Southern Miss fans are used to seeing. And so, you know, even your second guy, Latrell Jones, 68 yards. And Jackson hit the nail right on the head, the proverbial head. You know, and we talked about this in our instant reactions. They almost wanted to throw the ball more than they wanted to run it, which I think is just a testament to just the, like, complete 180 of the offense now. Like, last year, the opener, like, against Liberty, I think they threw it, like, 12 times. Like, they did not throw it that much in that game. I don't want to put a specific number out there, but I know that Southern Miss threw the ball more in the first half of this game than they did in the entire Liberty game last year.
That went to four overtimes.
They went to four overtimes, right. And so that's just a complete 180 of offense, and it's almost like exactly what that tweet was saying. Like, what? We have a quarterback who's throwing the ball now, right? You know? And so I think Billy did just a really good job tonight of kind of, you know, the pressure was on him. Like, if he doesn't have a good game, the pressure's on him, you know? And I thought he embraced that pressure and just went out and played football, man. And that's all Will Hall, you know, that's all he's going to ask him. And if he plays his heart out, he gets it to these weapons, Southern Miss is going to have a very, very talented offense that can compete with the higher level Sun Belt teams. I want to talk about the defense really quickly and kind of shift gears, because I feel like, you know, the fans might be just tired of us talking about the quarterback. I feel like we talked about the quarterback so much over.
I know Will Hall, and I know the quarterbacks are tired of us talking about the quarterback.
You know, it's funny, at the post game press conference, Will was like, "You have only asked me about the quarterbacks 14,000 times." So that was funny. I also have a rant that I want to get to, and I can just start my rant now. So,
all right, go ahead.
Here we go. I have a question.
Okay.
Why? What was the point of Alcorn State's offense? What were they trying to do? Like, I get that you want to establish the run game, man, but you're coming into the Rock to try and knock off Southern Miss, upset the game. You're not going to do it by running in between the tackles. You got to have something different. You got to try to bounce it to the outside. You got to – I mean, I understand that they weren't having any success throwing the ball either, but they weren't even trying to throw the ball, man. No. Like, they threw one throw that was a circus interception by Jay Stanley that – I mean, really wasn't the quarterback's fault. He kind of overthrew him. That was just a terrific play by Jay Stanley. That doesn't mean you completely abandoned the passing game. Like, that was
– yeah.
It was crazy to me to think that on, like – I think there was a point that it was 27-7 or something like that. And it was 4th-and-2 on Southern Miss's 47. Alcorn State elects to punt the ball. Like, yeah. I just don't understand it, man. You're coming in trying to pull an upset, and this is, you know, I talk about this with upsets all the time. If you're trying to pull an upset, like next week for Southern Miss, they're trying to pull an upset. I don't want to see 4th-and-2 on the 40 of Florida State's and Southern Miss not go for it. I mean, chances are you don't get it. But like, at least you're trying to win the football game. You're not going to play conservative football when you're down 20. Okay, that's my rant. So, sorry, Alcorn State fans, but I think your play calling just sucked tonight.
Yeah, it was confusing. I was talking with Dima about this off air. It's not like I think that they just gave up on the pass play. It's because, look, I'm going to read off some statistics for you. Jackson at 1:22 a.m. is going to read off some statistics and pray to Christ above that I do not misread this. All right, so Tyler Macon. First throw, interception. Okay, that's whatever, you know? Early game, early game pick, cool. That means you get your mistake out of the way.
Yeah.
And you go from there. And then you throw another ball, and it's an incompletion. And then you throw another ball, and it's an incompletion. And then you throw another ball, Dima, and what is it?
Interception.
No, it was an incompletion. Oh, but then you throw another ball.
And then that was an interception.
And that was an interception.
By Jay Stanley.
Yeah, Jay Stanley's just absolutely geeking. You know,
we did the season predictions, and we asked who would lead the team in interceptions. I think Jay Stanley won that poll, and I think tonight showed why he won that poll by like 60%. Because he's now two ahead of everybody else. And when you get two ahead in interceptions, it's pretty hard to beat.
It's pretty hard, and especially when you're
playing. He's going to get more.
Yeah. I think Will Hall put it pretty well tonight in the post-game press conference. He said, Jay Stanley just made a lot of money tonight. Jay Stanley made a lot of money because we were talking and we were pontificating. I'm like, is Jay Stanley going to be also on an NFL roster? Are we going to start seeing some of the guys that, you know, Dima and I are on a first name basis with, and some of the guys that we high five after games and stuff like that? Are we going to start to see them go to the NFL? And, you know, I thought that Jay Stanley would. Dima, rightfully so, has like, look, we just need to see how he plays this season before we start making predictions. You know, we're 12 games away from anybody really thinking about that. 12 games minimum, you know?
Yeah.
And dang.
Dog.
Absolute dog. Like, I walked up to him. Like, I left the camera recording during Will Hall talking, and I just had to walk up to Jay, and I was like, dude, dog, you were incredible. And it's because he was. He was lights out, and yeah, Will Hall's right. Jay Stanley just made a good chunk of change tonight, especially if he can continue this campaign.
Right.
I have no doubt in my mind that he at least gets like an undrafted free agent deal or something like that.
Yeah, he'd be. It's going to be interesting to watch him this season. I'm very intrigued to see him the next 2 weeks.
Yes. Yes.
But back to the statistics. Fred Jackson at 125.
Yeah. I forgot that I was even reading off numbers. Woo! All right. But yeah, going back, and then something that was interesting after that second interception, they took out their starting quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. I'm ranting about Alcorn State's like reasoning behind.
Do you
some
think
of this.
They were preventing injury, or be like, well, maybe this backup is going to complete a pass? It's like, dude, look, I'm sorry, I'm an objective journalist. This is the nasty bunch you're dealing with, and this year, this bunch looks quite nasty. It looks quite potent, quite putrid. And if you're going to try and put a backup quarterback in against the Golden Eagles, you're not going to get much done. Now, given Aaron Allen,
he did complete the only passes up to the night.
He completed the only passes of the night. He was 5 for 9 with 44 yards and a long of 26, which is serviceable. But it only led to one score, and that's after the twos and threes were out there, Dima. Yeah. You know, it's – I don't know if it was a play-calling thing like you were saying, or if, like I said in the post-game videos, that maybe these DBs were so good that they just couldn't throw the ball.
Yeah.
And I mean,
they just really didn't – they didn't attempt that many passes. So I don't think it was that, because I think if it was that, then we would have seen them drop back more and more in completions. But they only threw the ball – 14 times.
14 times.
Out of all the plays they ran, which I don't have the exact number on how many plays they ran, but my goodness, I mean, and I understand that you're, like I said, I understand you're trying to establish a run game, but you got to do something creative. I mean, like, you're just making it, like, it's, like, I said this on the post-game video, I didn't even necessarily think the defense played that great. It was, like, just that easy. Like, I mean, it's just like, tiddlywinks out there. Yeah. I mean, what are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, look, man. If you're trying to establish a run game and you've got Quentin Bivens, Swayze Bozeman, Josh Ratcliffe out there.
Well, teams are going to establish a run game on them. So, so Alcorn State trying to do it, but then realizing it's not working and then still continuing to do it, that's what doesn't make sense.
It's just wild. It's just wild because, you know, Southern Miss did the opposite. Southern Miss tried to establish a run game.
Exactly.
And they established some run game, but the fact is, Alcorn was exclusively running blitz packages. That's what they did. They're like, hey, look, new quarterback. we're going to just put as much pressure on him, force him to make mistakes.
Right.
He rarely did. He made one mistake or two yeah. mistakes. And had those two mistakes been completions, Billy Wiles would have thrown for over 300 yards with 5 touchdowns on the day, which is crazy. That is crazy to think about. But, yeah. you know, again, that didn't work. So then you've got, let me do the quick math in my head right now, and it will not be quick. You are about to hear some dial-up sounds right now.
Yeah, I want to say while he's doing his dial-up sounds, you know, when you think about, you know, all of the ways that Southern Miss could have moved the ball, you know, we were making our predictions. I think, Jackson, actually, your bold prediction was Frank Gore Jr. would rush for 150 yards, and I know that was going to be Zion's before he changes because of Jackson's bold prediction. And obviously, bold prediction is bold, but we did not expect Frank Gore Jr. to be third in the team in rushing. You know, that's how much Alcorn State was able to penetrate this offensive line with their blitz packaging and force Southern Miss to throw the ball more. Now, granted, when they threw the ball more, it was very evident that they had the weapons and the capability of challenging Alcorn State's corners. But I don't think anybody would have guessed that Dreek Clark would have led the team in rushing coming into this game. And, you know, they didn't really play Frank Gore Jr. that much coming on into the second half, which also that's a whole other thing that I didn't agree with. But at the same time, I think it is healthy for Southern Miss fans to know that if the run isn't there, the pass at least was there. So, you know, when you don't have one component of your offense, granted, they did rush for over 150 yards or whatever they rushed for tonight. But I think you want to see some more balance. Especially when you get into teams like a Florida State or Tulane. I mean, even a Texas State who's looked really good tonight, beat Baylor. Some of those teams that are coming up on the schedule who you're going to need to establish the run game on. I think that, you know, I think tonight that is at least a concern coming out of tonight, knowing that maybe if teams blitz a lot, you're not going to be able to get a solid rushing attack, which you need, which with this veteran offensive line, though, did really well keeping Billy Wiles in the pocket, even when those blitzes came. Back to Jackson's quick math.
Yeah. No, I'm surprised at how quickly I was able to solve it because, man, you should see my face right now. I think I'm fading.
It looks like Jackson just got off a Bourbon Street or something.
Yeah. It looks like I'm Nathan Lee after watching an LSU game.
Oh, no.
Getting on Twitter. Fourth Street After Dark. Fourth Street After Dark.
Nope.
Dima probably just cut that. Anyways, you know, even still, you know, having 286 passing yards when, you know, 30 of those coming from garbage time when you don't really need it.
Yeah.
It's impressive to see. I was just impressed with this offense because this, like, obviously, Alcorn State doesn't have the depth.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the depth needed. However, their front 11 are good enough to be a low-tier Sun Belt team. Their starters are good enough to be that. Now, again, I am just perplexed with. No, I'm not perplexed. I don't know why I use that word. Dima, go ahead and take over for me.
I want to talk about again just the receivers tonight, and I know we've touched on this. 9 different players getting passes tonight. We talked to Cole Cavallo, which unfortunately Cole Cavallo actually went down in warmups. We don't know the seriousness of that injury. Jackson, you saw him on crutches after the game, and you saw him on crutches. Will Hall said he will be back. He didn't lose him for good, so we'll definitely continue to monitor that in the coming weeks. But 9 different receivers got the ball tonight, and you know, Ty Mims only with 18 yards. You'd think that would be a little bit higher. But the dispersity, we were at Media Day a couple months ago, and that's exactly what Cole Cavallo said, that, you know, everybody's going to, you said it a few times on this podcast, everybody's going to eat or cook or whatever he said. And 9 different players gets targets tonight, which I think that's very, very encouraging for Southern Miss fans to know that, you know, it's not just going to be the Jacarius Caston show. It's not just going to be the Frank Gore Jr. show. I mean, we get, you know, we're getting to see Kasson and Jones and Davis Dalton and Ty Mims and Brandon Hayes and Chandler
Pinnon. There we go.
You know, all of these guys getting reps tonight and getting open in space. You know, they were able to make a couple moves and get out in space. How important is that in the grand scheme of things when, you know, we've talked about it all fall camp, knowing of how many weapons they have in the receiving core. But I think tonight really elevated that argument, right? That knowing that, you know, okay, Kasson's covered. I got Latrell Jones running free, and he makes a good move. Jackson, I just feel like that to me is very important to note from tonight's victory.
Yeah, no, it's something that you've got to be really comfortable with if you are Billy Wiles. You know what I mean? You've got 9 receivers that you targeted, and all 9 of those receivers that you targeted at least once got at least one catch. I mean, if you want to look at Davis Dalton, number 81, coming off an injury, he's been, you know, working, you know, a soft tissue injury from what it looks like, from just how he's just been walking. He hasn't been able to take any reps. He got a setback in his injury in fall camp, which kind of shot him down the depth chart. But he was easily with the 2s over Zay Franks had he not kind of re-aggravated that. He was going to be number 2 on the depth chart for his position. But, you know, even him, as on the depth chart, a number 3 guy, 3 targets, 3 catches, 36 yards, a long of 22 and 9 yards after the catch. And, Dima, this is a name that you nor I mentioned since we started thinking about football. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We have not mentioned Davis Dalton, who is a great player and a great guy to talk to. We just haven't mentioned him.
Right.
And now we are with, you know, the 3rd most yards out of anybody this game. I mean, I know that I'm partial. I'm not going to lie. I am perplexed that Brandon Hayes only has 21 yards. You know, and it's because he was getting double, triple teamed and, you know, either Jakarius or Frog or Davis himself was getting a quicker look than B. Hayes, and just because of how this defense played by Alcorn, then you're gonna be able to get it to your first look, because these DBs really didn't have much covered until the 2s and 3s came out. So, you know, I'm a little shocked that his numbers were so low, but it's a testament to everybody's getting fed, man. Everybody's getting passes thrown to them.
69 total plays for Southern Miss's offense, which to me was important too, that they were able to get a lot of those reps. 6.6 average yards per play, which another thing that was important. Want to talk a little bit about the kicking game. Andrew Stein tonight, really, really impressed. You know, that was a kicking battle in fall camp that seemed to be, you know, it was a kicking battle. Nobody really knew who was taking kicks. Tonight, 3 for 3, career high, career long at 51-yarder. I thought he kind of gave Southern Miss fans confidence that they should be good in those positions. And even the punting, I thought, when they had to punt, the punting was pretty good as well.
Yeah, no, the kicking was great. Only 2 punts needed this entire game, which is pretty rad if you're a Southern Miss fan. And pretty rad if, 3 punts. Sorry, I remember that, yes. Because there was – I had texted Demon. I was like, wow, your 2nd punt of the game is coming at the start of the 3rd quarter. You've got to feel pretty good about that.
Yeah.
Like, no matter who you're playing, you've got to feel really good about that. And you do. I mean, that's incredibly impressive. So. Yeah.
4 field goals, actually, for Andrew Stein.
Yeah, and Andrew Stein, dog. Like, look, 25-yard, 23-yard, 52-yard, 41-yard, all good.
Yeah.
And may I say, absolute piss missile. Like, just launched. Like,
just barely got over the crossbar.
Like, as in, yeah, it barely got over the crossbar, and not because of a lack of power, but because of an overabundance of it, Dima. And just what a dog. What a dog this defense was. Just, I think this was a complete game in all 3 phases. And obviously, you wanted a little bit more dominance, or Alcorn to throw the ball a little bit more, to where you can get some of those meaningful reps in before a Florida State comes in. But, you know, if your starting quarterback has a passer rating of 183, you got to be feeling pretty good about your Eagles going into the season. And I'm feeling a little bit better about my 8-4 prediction after tonight.
Yeah, so let's talk about next week, which, and then we'll get out of here. Shorter podcast tonight just because it's so late, but we wanted to get something to you. So, God, I'm pretty proud of us. We're at, 40 minutes now? So that's pretty good. I didn't know if we could, how long we'd go and how tired we were.
No, I'm proud. I can tell that I am not Radio Jackson or 3 p.m. Jackson.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, if you go out and you're taking BP, and every single time that, like, the ball comes to you at 65 miles an hour, what would just be a nuke, you're shanking it. That's the feeling that I have. It's like, oh, I know that I could be a great right now had it been any other time in the day. But no, I am proud of ourselves. And yeah, looking ahead to next week, it's going to be the biggest challenge on the schedule by a long shot.
Yeah.
There's going to, like, you know, talks of Florida State's quarterback Travis. Jordan Travis. Yes, I was thinking Travis Hunter. Woo! But yeah, Jordan Travis, looking good. People are saying that he's already a Heisman candidate.
Yeah.
People are saying Florida State is going to get into the college football playoffs, potentially contend for a national title. I'm not sold on that yet. I need to see it for myself.
Yeah, I wish they would have played today.
Yeah,
they're playing tomorrow night, so I'm definitely gonna be in tune to that game to see kind of how they look and to see how Southern Miss will match up against them. I mean, obviously Southern Miss is going to be heavy underdogs going in there. It's a night game. Home opener for Florida State because they play LSU in a neutral site. The last time Southern Miss played Florida State was in 2017 in the Independence Bowl. I was at that game. It was the coldest game I have ever been to in my entire life. I think I actually – it was terrible. I couldn't even feel my feet. It was awful. Southern Miss lost 42-13. That was the Willie Taggart year, believe it or not, where they fired Jimbo Fisher resigned, or they fired him or something like that. And Willie Taggart came in to finish the season. They just barely got to a bowl, and then they played Southern Miss. But I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a fun atmosphere. I think it'll be really cool. I mean, I don't think either of us expect Southern Miss to go in there and win that game, but I think it'll be really cool and fun to see, you know, see Billy Wiles step into that atmosphere and see what he can do, and have, you know, Jacarius Caston and Latrell Jones and Brandon Hayes kind of running out there and running around and seeing what happens. And I mean, and like I said in my rant a couple of minutes ago, shoot your shot, man. I mean, just take your shot. I mean, you probably won't win, but you know what? Go down to Tallahassee and see what you can do. See what, and you're going to learn a lot about your team.
Oh, 100%. And the thing is, with the talent that is seen on this roster, and with the fact that, you know, like, with such a dominant win, by still playing a very vanilla offense, I didn't see any Will Hall shenaniganery that I expected to see. And it's because he's probably saving that playbook for Florida State, maybe even saving it all the way up until Tulane if you just want to go ahead and chalk up this as a loss, or just chalk it up like, we'll just see what we can do. We're not going to do anything special to give film to other people.
Right.
I mean, if you want to do that, whatever. But this game, it's not out of the realm of possibility to win it. You're going to have to make some ballsy moves. You're going to have to do stuff that you wouldn't normally do. You're going to have to take risks. But if there's any college coach in the country that's going to take risks and laugh about it, especially in a game in which you're, Florida State's probably paying Southern Miss over $1 million to come play?
Probably.
Right? Because, I mean, I remember that 2 years ago, Alabama paid Southern Miss $1.9 million.
Yep.
And if Florida State wants to act like they're as good as an Alabama, they're going to, you know, pay similarly. So, you know, you're going to go there. You're going to collect the check. However, you're going to do it And I don't know. We haven't seen the full breadth of this offense. Frank Gore Jr. touched the ball 7 times.
Yeah.
He touched the ball 7 times, Dima. And that means that we haven't really seen what Frank Gore Jr. is capable of.
Oh, we've seen it before.
I mean, yeah. But not this year, because I'm sure he added some new things up his sleeve, because, you know, from 2 years ago to last year, he made so many changes to his physical appearance and to his skill set. His footwork has looked incredible over fall camp. I like to sit by the running backs and just kind of watch their drills. And we haven't seen Will Hall's full playbook. We haven't seen Billy Wiles' full capabilities or these wide receivers. And we haven't really seen these DBs be tested like we mentioned. So it'll be an interesting proving grounds. It's not outside of the realm of possibility for Southern Miss to win, but don't go in there expecting to. Go in there knowing, hey, we're going to challenge these guys for everything that they're worth. We're going to make them earn a win if they do, and we're going to make them lose this game if they don't play their best game against us, and if they don't if this team's looking ahead, or if this team's still focused on winning or losing against LSU, then Southern Miss can pop them in the mouth. And I expect Southern Miss to try and run some tempo. I expect Southern Miss to try and come out quick like they did against Alcorn, because if you can grab the momentum and hold on to it, you can drain the life out of a stadium.
I'm trying to remember. So Southern Miss played at UTSA 2 years ago in Will Hall's first year. And it was the first time they ever didn't list a quarterback on the depth chart. And UTSA was undefeated. And they were like number 10 or something.
Yeah.
And Southern Miss almost won that game.
Yeah.
And it's because Will Hall sat there and ran the clock all the way down. They used a 10-minute possession, and it was crazy. So I don't know if that would be the way they go against Florida State, where you get the ball and you kind of hand it off, you take your time and get a first down and do a 7-minute drive and, you know, get the game to halftime and only be down 2 scores or whatever. I don't know. But, you know, it's going to be difficult. The talent gap in what Florida State is putting on the field, you know, to what Southern Miss will have on the field is there. And I think there's some players, you know, and, you know, each time we talk about talent gap, it's not a diss to the players on Southern Miss's team. But when I think of talent gap, I think of if you put the rosters side by side, 11 on 11, and you picked and choose, you know, what players you would want on your team, I think you're picking more Florida State guys than Southern Miss guys. So you know, it is what it is. You go down there, and like Jackson said, this is a game where you just need to find out a lot about your team. You're going to find out how tough your team is. You're going to find out how ready your team is to compete on more of a national level. It's going to be a good measuring stick, because the last time Southern Miss saw a game like this, you know, they got obliterated by Alabama. And if this game at least is not to that level of dominance, I think it's going to be a win in Southern Miss's favor if they can keep it, you know, somewhat competitive for a half or whatever it is, you know. And I don't think that's outside of the realm of possibility. Now, do I think they can go in there and win? You know, crazier things have happened. You know, Appalachian State went to Texas A&M and won last year. There is certainly a case that Southern Miss could put together an all-purpose game and win that game. But we'll have a lot more on Florida State next week in our Florida State preview podcast. We'll actually be in Tallahassee, so you'll be able to see 4th Street coverage from Tallahassee in that game. But for this game, Southern Miss won 40-14. Billy Wiles, nice day. You can go to YouTube and watch all of our instant reactions on the field. We graded Billy Wiles. We talked about the defense. We talked about just our instant reactions in general. Go to the website and go to sm2media.com to read the post-game story. It's a good recap of the events. You can see Jackson's photos on there, and also you can find them on Flickr. Thanks so much for listening to this post-game podcast. We hope it wasn't too bland for y'all. It is currently 1:50 in the morning, so we are grinding, but we got 45 minutes in, which I'm pretty proud. So we will see you on Monday at 5 for 4th Street on WUSM 88.5. But for now, for Jackson Kennedy, I'm Dima Mixon, and that was the 4th Street Sports Show.
Thank you for listening to the 4th Street Sports Show. We'll see you on the field or in your headphones real soon. And as always, Southern Miss to the top.